Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. My name is Dan Walls and I'm the pastor at St. Susie Baptist Church. And it's our desire to see all people from all walks of life come to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we pray this message goes some way to blessing you here today, but also goes some way to achieving that in your life here today. Once again, we do pray that this message is a blessing to you.
And that's not only because it's just four chapters long. That would be lazy. It's my favourite letter because as you read through these four chapters, the thing that you'll note, in every chapter, or almost in every paragraph, Paul will say something about joy. This letter is infused with that sense of joy to the point where scholars call it the letter of joy. But the crazy context is this. Paul writes this letter to his friends at Philippi from a prison cell in Rome. That's the amazing thing. This letter of joy is written from the context where he's in prison. Now, prison in Rome in the first century is not like a prison in Australia, which is awful in any case when you have your freedom taken away. There's no food provided for you. If friends don't provide food, well, you just starve to death. That makes the jailer's job a lot easier. There's no water provided for you. There's no sanitation. There's no opportunity to exercise in a yard. Certainly no television. Paul's in a cell and writes to his friends at Philippi this astonishing letter of joy. Amazing. Is this man delusional? How do we get this sense of joy? Well, nonetheless, that's where we are. There's something of an equation as we look at particularly the three verses, three, four, five, and six. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I pray with joy, and then he tells us why. Because there is an equation around joy. Now, if you listen to the radio on the way to work or in the car, or you watch television for any stretch of time, there is no question that you will be engaging somebody who will tell you this is the secret to happiness. This is the secret to how to live a meaningful life. This is the secret to how to live with joy. You'll get lots and lots of that advice. Well, Paul's got his own advice. There is a very simple equation around this. He says you want joy? You really want to experience joy? Now remember, he's writing from a prison cell. You really want to experience joy? Is that what you want to motivate your life? Well, there's two things you need. Firstly, you need to partner with other believers. You need to fellowship. The Greek word here is koinonia. It's often translated as fellowship. Now, but it's better than fellowship. It's not just hanging out with each other. It's somewhere between fellowship and partnership. It's this sense that we come together and we live for something outside of ourselves. That which motivates us is not our own happiness. That which motivates us is not our own joy. That's something that happens along the way. When we live for something that is deeply beyond ourselves, when we live for an external goal, a purpose, if you will, then we can move towards joy. But it's not just purpose. It's not just partnership. It's not just fellowship. It's not just koinonia. It's that plus confidence. Now, this is not confidence in ourselves or our ability to figure out our own solutions or even in the community of faith around us and the tremendous faithfulness of our friends, because if you live your life long enough, you learn that people let you down. But if we want to experience joy, we need to live for something beyond ourselves with the confidence that God has it in hand. This is the lesson of the Philippian letter. Paul says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership or your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Or, my paraphrase, I always pray with joy because you are with me in the gospel right from the beginning, still now, totally confident that the God who started this story is going to finish this story. This is the cross writ large, where Jesus says upon that cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, what an extraordinary thing. What an extraordinary thing to say. Father, forgive them. These are the people who are executing him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then just as he dies, he says, it is finished. The debt has been paid. Now his disciples look at him, and Cheryl brought this to our attention this morning. His disciples watch, his mother watches, as Jesus breathes his last, and their hearts are broken. But that's not the end of the story. Because Sunday comes round, and the women come and report to the disciples, we've seen him. He's risen. And those very intelligent men, what do they say? Whatever. They don't believe them at all. Peter and James and let's boggle your mind for the moment. The first people that God entrusted with the story that Christ had been resurrected were not blokes. They were women.
Reach it, brother.
Right? It was true then, it's true now, it's going to be true tomorrow. Release your women into ministry. Jesus has said they're trustworthy. Right? They go and they see the tomb's empty. Jesus is risen. The confidence that God will carry it through to completion. Now, the confidence that we look back on the cross and the resurrection with is the same confidence we can look at our own lives. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but if I look at my own life, I think to myself, I'm not a finished product yet. we're not done. There's some rough edges. But I can have confidence that God is going to finish the task in me that he began many years ago. You too can have the confidence that God is going to finish the task in you that he began many years ago, because God is faithful and trustworthy. God always comes through on the promises that God makes. So friends, if you want joy in your life, and I know this is a really contracted version, if you want joy in your life, my challenge to you is center your life around the gospel. Center your life around the sharing of the story that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Center your life around that story and live it out in lots of ways. Partner in the gospel. And have confidence that the one who began the story in you is going to continue the story in and through you. And God is faithful and will complete that task in and through you. Because God is good. If you want joy, joy is partnership plus confidence in God. Now when I talk about partnership, that includes partnering in the gospel with women and men around the world that God has called. I know St. Susie Baptist Church is already doing that. Please continue to do so. You're called here into this neighbourhood. God calls others into other neighbourhoods, other nations around the world, other people groups, etc., etc., etc. Continue to partner with them, confident that God's going to be faithful in their lives as well. And so I would like to invite Sadiq and Fozia to come and join me now. And I would like to interview them with some, just a few questions around their particular journey into faith. So do we have a microphone?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, do you want a stool or do you want to stand? Do you want to sit or stand? I think we'll just stand. Yeah, let's just stand. All right, welcome, my dear friends. This is Sadiq. This is Fozzia. My wife says that every time she sees Fozzia, she looks younger.
It's been, I'm getting older.
Yeah, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Sadiq. I left that unsaid. Okay, so we'll start with you, Sadiq. Did you grow up in a Christian home in Pakistan?
Good morning, church. And just I want to share a little bit about my life. I didn't born actually in a Christian family, but I was born in a Muslim, very strict and fanatic Muslim family. My father was an imam.
And what's an imam?
Imam mean a leader in the mosque, like a pastor in the church. So I grew up with four sisters, one brothers, and my father wanted to see me a Muslim scholar where I can preach Islam and Quran throughout the world. So that's sort of really history I have. And there was no church, no Christian family around our area where we were living. That was a pure 100% Christian area. Muslim area where we were born. Yeah.
Okay. So now, when did you get married?
We married 1994.
Yeah.
And Fozzia is from my own tribe, my own family, extended family. And they were very staunch Muslim as well.
Okay, so you both marry and you're both Muslims?
Yes, we both Muslim, yes.
Fozzia, at some point, and I know we haven't heard the detail of how Sadiq came to the Lord. Please, we don't have time for it this morning. I want to encourage you, you need to hear this man's testimony of how he came to faith. It is a complete mind blow, but we don't have the many hours that will take right here. But Fozzia, you became aware that your husband, who had been a strict Muslim, had become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. What happened for you there? Did you go, hallelujah, I've been waiting? Oh.
You know, we got married because my husband, he had a long beard. He was very like religious in Islamic faith, and I was the same. And that's why I got married with him, because he's very religious and I was very religious as well. That's why I got married. And then after 1 year, he was hidden believer. He become a Christian, but he didn't told me. After 1 year when he told me, I was shocked. Because we were living in Islamic Republic Pakistan, and mostly surrounding is all Muslim. And when he told me, that was shocking for me. He said to me, I become a Christian. I said, what? And then because I heard the Muslim people, Christian people, they become a Muslim, but not the Muslim people, they become a Christian. Because I said, what you have done? Because Bible has been corrupted. That's not a good religion. I don't want to live with you. I separated his bed and then plate, glass, and everything. I said, I'm not your wife anymore. According to Islam, I'm already divorced. I don't want to live with you. And I gave him really hard time. And I demanded divorce from him. I said, I don't want to live with you because you are not my husband.
Okay, so it's. I mean, this is really serious, right? This is not just you let me down, but
no,
you,
I was
you
crying.
Have rejected
yeah.
our family, our nation, our yeah. religion. You are the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was crying. I said, I can sacrifice everything sake of Islam.
Yeah. Okay. So Sadiq, potentially in this, you lose your wife, right? Is there other dangers maybe to move from Islam to Christianity in Pakistan?
Yeah, many things happened like in my life. First of all, I faced very strong reaction from my own wife, and we were living under one roof, but we were separated, and she was not ready to listen anything. But then again, I have been arrested by the Pakistan Air Force Police because I was serving as an associate engineer in automobile and diesel technology in Pakistan Air Force. So I couldn't hide. They have arrested me in 2000, and they've sent me to the jail just for my faith. And Pakistan is a very hard country among the other 54 Islamic countries, because Pakistan in a leadership role, might be you heard the news, finally American found the bin Laden over there. So many things are really deep rooted over the Pakistan. And then I have gone through the district court martial, but God made the history in Islamic Republic of Pakistan after a great trial, persecution, my wife and children, they were really isolated because I was behind the bar, and my whole family rejected me just for the faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. So it's happening with the others. But finally, after a long investigation and everything, I have been accepted as a first official and legal convert in the history of Islamic Republic of Pakistan in the history of 75 years, never ever happened. But your God and my God is a history maker God. And that's why I'm so happy to be here on the day of Pentecost, because God has given you the dynamis power. It's mean every single believer missionary is the like a dynamite, and dynamite can shake the mountain and the hills anytime.
So what you're telling me here is that you're imprisoned for your faith. Yeah. You're court-martialed.
Yes.
You have to come before the judge. Yes. Because you're following Jesus. That's the crime. The crime is following Jesus. Yeah,
that was the only, and that's the blasphemy law. It's called the black law. Only Pakistan has passed their national assemblies. That's law, but other Islamic countries don't have. But any Muslim, any Christian can come. All even Christian can come in Pakistan and they can accept Islam. But no Muslim can go towards Christianity. Mm. That's called blasphemy.
Yeah.
And the punishment of this act is a long imprisonment or a death punishment. So that was the only reason.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was containing a good history in Pakistan Air Force, and I was getting extra pay. It's called good conduct badge pay holder. Mm. So there was no wrong entry against my career, but that was the only biggest crime in the eyes of Islam and in the eyes of the authorities and the government.
Okay, but praise God, yeah, by really an act of God, they find no fault in you at all.
I have gone through many things because they were torturing me. How many pound and euro and dollar you receive from the Western, you are the Western agent in Pakistan, we are not going to spare you, and you insulted Muhammad and Quran and this and that. But other than that, they couldn't find anything wrong within my like a journey from Islam to Christianity. But I would like to say that was not really on me, but God was really acting on behalf of me, and he was taking a strong stand, and that miraculous really things happen in the jail time. Even I have seen wonderful things in jail, and I was thinking that time that was not only happened with Peter, Paul and Silas, but our God is a God of every time. So that happened in Islamic Pakistan. So it was a wonderful, but there was no other accusation against me, but that was only due to the Christian faith. And you can see many people, I think around in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan is a leader country in Islamic Ummah. So they mostly people, they're paying the price.
Yeah.
But I was so blessed, and I'm so thankful to my God. He took me out from the prison, and now I'm in Australia where I can raise my voice and preach the gospel freely.
Well, and tell us more about that now. What has God called you to now?
Yes, I got full of hatred, and my heart was full of bitterness against Islam, Muslim, Quran and Muhammad, because I have been rejected. I've been to jail, going to the court, district court martial. But in 2015, after many years, I came to the Lord in 1998 while I was serving there. But many years after, God changed my heart in Sydney. There was a conference in Auburn in some church, and a couple of American guys, they came to preach, and there was a first lecture, Divine Plan of Redemption in the Bible, how God is behaving with the nations. And that was the day my heart got changed. And I took the phone and I made a call to my own brother. He's Mullah. He's still alive. And that day really God spoken to me in a different way. They are my people too. And especially Book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has paid the price for all the nation. He has purchased the people from every single tribe due to his holy blood. So it's mean nations belong to Jesus Christ. So I got the passion to go back to Muslim people, as Apostle Paul was doing the ministry. He came to Christ and he was going to them. So that's really our calling, to equip, train, mobilize the church, Christian people, believer, and then go back to Islam where they are. We like to cross the bridges and we want to go to them and preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You are a Muslim living in Pakistan. You become a follower of Jesus, and after some time later, Fozia also becomes a follower of Jesus and other members of your family. You're imprisoned for your faith.
Yes.
You are given opportunity to come to Australia by Australian government, granted citizenship, safety.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me that you're going to go back to Pakistan and share the gospel with the people who imprisoned you.
Yeah, I took...
You're a maniac.
No, thanks. It took a long time, 94 and 98 to until now, almost 24 years. So that was a God's plan to really groom me and to train me and give me the confidence in the gospel, give me the confidence in his resurrection power. That's why I comes under the obligation, because he sent us out to go. And when I came to Australia, we have been privileged, honored by the Australian government and the land and the authorities, and we have been granted like a PR of Australia within only 7 days. So I thought God is working with us. He's giving us some more confidence, and I would like to say I got more trained here because I know the value now of the gospel, how people are feeling deprived without the gospel. So that's a God's plan, and it's easy for us. It's convenient because I know the culture. I lived in Islam 28 years. I learned the Quran in Arabic from my father and the other scholars. I know their values. I know the roadmap of Islam. If you don't have a GPS, we were not able to come to St. Susie. But that's the roadmap of Islam.
Yeah.
So we are easy to meet them and greet them and then finally share the gospel in their own context where they are. We want to facilitate them, not to frustrate them. That's the quality of the gospel and the aroma of our Lord Jesus Christ loves.
Right. Forgive me. I'm going to get my preach on. Right? Right? So I worked with the mission for many, many years. We, women and men, much like yourselves, are called by God to serve, and it could be in Southeast Asia or South Asia or Thailand or Cambodia or Mozambique, Malawi, any around the world, right? And so we, the mission, invest in you, the candidate. You come and we help you learn language and culture. That takes about 10 years to become conversant so that you can speak, you know, fluently and what we call heart language. You can communicate in ways that make sense. Or God grows people up, right? God grows people up in that part of the vineyard who have the language and the culture, who have the capacity, who have the passion, who understand Islam, who understand the dangers, who look right. Because guess who stands out, right? If I go to Pakistan, although my beard helps, right? Yeah. If I go to Pakistan, they go, oh, you're a Westerner, but these guys, this is the work of God, friends. This is the economy of God. Fozia, what has God called you to?
When I become a follower of Jesus, then I have passion in my heart. I said, look, because I didn't know about Christ's love. And God changed me. God opened my eyes. And now I have a same passion to go that woman, they don't know about Christ. And that's why God called me to go that woman. Because due to culture, due to religion, Islamic religion, the women, they don't feel comfortable with the man. But they feel comfortable with the woman. I invite women in my place. I have a tea sometime. I have dinner. Sometime opening or fast. And then I share gospel with them. And sometime I go their house as well. But some people, they are very religious. They don't allow Siddiq to go in their place. But I can go easily in their place and I can share the gospel with them. And I can share my own testimony. I can share my own story with them and they get very impressed. And we have lots of Muslim friends where we can go and share the gospel with them.
This is so exciting. So you're living in Southwest Sydney, Campbelltown. You're meeting weekly with women and men from Islam, some of whom come on the journey to faith, some who are resistant, some who have come right the way through into faith, and you're beginning to disciple them as well. And there is an enormous number, as we know, Muslim women and men, families coming to Sydney. So we praise God that you are here doing this work, right? And but God has called you both here and Pakistan.
Yes.
So, you know, fly in, fly out. This is incredibly exciting to me. Now, there's 300-odd Baptist churches in New South Wales ACT, much like San Susie Baptist Church, often not very big churches. How do we support you? What are some of the ways?
First of all, I need your prayers, and then I need financially support as well, where we can go easily here and overseas to reach other Muslim people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your little donation is a lot for us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
That would be wonderful. Now, Sadiq, I'm going to ask you a big favour. I didn't talk about this at all to you. But maybe could you pray for San Susie Baptist Church, but because God speaks every language, could you pray in Urdu for us? Yeah, that would be wonderful. Let's join together in prayer, and then we're going to thank Sadiq and Fozia.
Very Asmani Bab, Yesu Masih ke naam ke wasile se hum aapki shukr guzari karte hain, aapke naam ko jalal dete hain, kyunki aap sare zamanon ke khuda ho, you are the Lord of all the nation. Khudawand St. Susie Church ko barkat de, aur Pastor Dan ko barkat de, inki congregation Kalisia ko barkat de, aur Reverend Andrew Palmer ko barkat de, hum sab ko bless kar, اور اپنے جلال گواہی اور خدمت کے لیے استعمال کر یسوع مسیح کے عظیم جلالی اور فتح مند نام کے وسیلے سے مانگتے ہیں آمین
آمین آمین Would you please thank Sadiq and Fozia? Thank you.
Just only one second. This is our support card. You can take from the back and someone says many hands can reduce the burdens.
That's right.
So if you are with us alone we are nothing but together we can do the wonderful thing here. And that's our passion to equip, mobilize, train. If you need anything, because we are providing consultancy on Islam, and Islam is rushing here in Australia as well. They are doing their part as well. So church has to be equipped. So we are there for you, and God will bless with your donation and prayers here, Southwest Sydney, and then in future, once we have 100% support, our target is a very low, frankly, so we need much more prayers to go overseas in the house of Islam, Islamic Republic of Pakistan. There is only 30-second message from my national leadership, if you could hear. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andrew. And we are the product and result of Andrew's prayers, kind consideration, because that was the first man we met in Global Interaction, now Baptist Mission Australia. So must be, he is very happy. We are a spiritual result of really his effort as well. Right. So he is still helping us as a companion, advocate, and he's available us, although he is a very busy person, but we are so thankful for your life, your love, your prayer, and your fellowship with us. Thank you.
Are we right to see that video, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, you're amazing.
I get to meet lots of inspiring people in my leadership at Baptist Mission Australia. And Sadiq and Fozia are certainly a couple who inspires my heart. They're passionate followers of Jesus with a commitment to share their faith amongst people in Sydney and in Southwest Asia. They understand the importance of contextualized mission. They understand what it means to model the incarnation of Jesus, to come alongside people, and to bring the hope of Jesus in ways that make sense to people that they're communicating with. I commend Sadiq and Fozia to you. We're looking to build local partners for them across our Baptist movement in Sydney, New South Wales, and across Australia. Can you pray for them? And I invite you to reach out and make contact with them and hear more about their exciting ministry stories. God is at work in Sydney and in Southwest Asia as Sadiq and Fozia step out and serve Jesus.
All right, thank you. So if you would like to get to know a little more, I'll be around for a while today. And I think it would be really valuable, if possible, to maybe organise something like a lunch for Sadiq and Fozia to share more of their story. And if you've got friends and family who you think would benefit to hear that story, we are really committed to finding the support for Sadiq and Fozia so that they can go. You know how I told you about how it takes around about 10 years for people to become conversant in faith? To give you some idea, that's about $1 million. Costs us about $1 million to get people at that point where they're sharing the gospel in meaningful heart ways. Sadiq and Fozia are fully formed. So it means they can hit the ground like that with effectiveness. So that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for today. I've really appreciated the opportunity to come and be among you again.